Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics, and we have a lot to catch up on. This week we discuss Gabby Douglas's return to competition and what her chances are for the Paris Olympics, as well as the other Olympic gold medalist who competed at the American Classic. We also talk about Chuchi Yuen giving Kalia Nemor a run for her money, Georgia Gymnastics hiring Cecile Landy and Ryan Roberts, and so much more. We discuss it all. So stick around. So a lot has happened in the past week, from Gabby Douglas's return at the American Classic. We had some other international competitions like the Pacific Rim Championships. We had Chinese Nationals. We had a major development in the NCAA coaching carousel saga that is always ongoing and super fun to follow.
Our favorite part of postseason.
Truly that, the fifth year announcements and the transfers keeps me alive. But we know that a lot of you are very eager to hear our thoughts on this. We had several people ask for an emergency episode. We apologize if this hasn't been, I guess, an emergency episode, but we are going to talk about everything.
Nevertheless, we're here.
We are here and we're ready to discuss it all. So I think we're going to start with one of the bigger things, which is the American Classic and the return of Gabby Douglas.
So Gabby Douglas had her first competition in 8 years. The last time she competed was at the 2016 Olympic Games. I know this competition was probably not what she wanted. However, I do think she deserves a round of applause for not only returning to the sport at her age, but also with the pressure that she faces and the criticism that she faces and the backlash that she gets when she does anything. It's really gutsy to put yourself out there, make a comeback at her age. And honestly, she looks really good. I know that she didn't have the best competition. She ended up having 3 falls among many other mistakes, but
I think showed a ton of potential though.
She did. And you can see the signs of greatness in everything that she does. She has, you know, clean form. She has tremendous power. She looks stronger than ever before. That's something that I remember saying after we went to the gym and watched her practice in January. She's so powerful. She looks in the best shape of her life.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much nerves played into how the competition unfolded. I do know she was very nervous to compete again.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of nerves, but also probably just a little bit of endurance issues. I mean, she is coming off of having COVID. And then obviously, for the first time in competition, putting full routines out there. To me, she looked at some points a little bit gassed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that we would expect that from anybody who's making a comeback. You know what I mean?
Well, and especially in that kind of environment. Like, this is a training gym where they have national team training camps. They don't really compete in this kind of setting. Normally, you're on a podium, you're on television, there's a bunch of fans, there's cameras all around you. And of course, that adds pressure as well.
Yeah.
But
I feel like this was probably more what she was wanting, actually. Like, I think that she wanted it to be more low-key and less eyes on her.
Yes, but also I think that there is kind of like an adrenaline rush that comes with competing in what feels like a high-stakes competition that I think maybe could have impacted her performance. Who knows? We'll never actually know that. But just kind of watching how she was competing, I think that there was a lot of nerves. And she did seem a little bit gassed. I agree with you, but I can't help but wonder if, you know, maybe if she had a little bit of an adrenaline boost from, you know, competing
in front of a big audience.
Yeah, and like, that's kind of what she's used to, so that's not an excuse for her performance, but it is something to consider. It's a completely different environment, and even Jade Carey said after the competition that, like, that's not an environment that they normally are competing in. So I do think it is a little bit different. However, like I said, that's not an excuse for her performance. I definitely think that she's probably not super happy with how she performed. Vault, of course, was tremendous. Honestly, her double on vault looked better now than it did back in 2016.
So good. Like, that is ready for the Olympics. Like, that's ready to be in Team USA's vault lineup.
Absolutely. And then if she has this Chun that she's teased, I mean, that's a pretty solid vault combo right there. And of course, we have to see it. It has to materialize.
Like, the question is, do we actually think she's going to ever show us the Chun?
Well, I mean, if the double that she showed on vault at American Classic tells us anything, she certainly has the power.
True.
And like I already said, looks very, very strong. So I think that regardless of whether we ever see the Chun or not, Vault was a high point.
Yes, 100%.
But she most definitely needs more than Vault if she wants to make this team, or wants to even be in the conversation to make this team. Mm-hmm. So I think Bars would probably be the event where she has the most potential to really make a mark, and had two falls at American Classic. She also, I believe, was intending to connect a couple of elements that she did not. The Stalder fall to Downey to Pack, which if she were to connect that, it would give her 0.3 to her start value.
Yeah.
So that's big. She was also under-rotated on the double layup dismount. And then, of course, the two falls. So it was far from what you want in a Gabby Douglas and Eva Marr routine. But I still feel like you can see the potential.
Yeah. I think she has... I think there's 20 days from Sunday, the day we're recording this, until the U.S. Classic. And that's plenty of time to continue to work on your endurance and be able to actually get through a routine and have it be something that you want to put on a competition floor. Scott Bragman was there in person and said that she was hitting in warm-ups on bars. So, yeah, it could be nerves. It could be fluky. It could be endurance. It could be a lot of things. But I think the fact that she looks as good as she does on bars. I mean, she's hitting the handstands. I mean, it's typical Gabby Douglas level of perfection and capabilities.
Yeah, high-flying release moves. That's something that we're used to seeing from her, and that has not gone away. The form, the execution.
The baseline is absolutely there. If it's a matter of her getting more endurance, I have no doubt that she'll be able to do that in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. I think there's, when it comes to beam and floor, more like compositional routine construction issues.
Yeah.
That I actually think is a bigger issue than her endurance. Like, mm-hmm. I think her bars will be fine. I think her vault is great, and I think her bars will be fine. I think it's what she's going to do on beam and floor that could make or break her chance of being on that Olympic team.
Yeah. So she's doing a lot of rain elements, which she's always done in her career, but they're really, really questionable as far as the position goes. Flashbacks to Kara Aker on beam at the 2018 World Championships, losing credit for one of her rain leaps.
And so I'm surprised that she's going for that, knowing that she, or at least I'm assuming Valeri would know, that she is likely not getting credit for that, or she will not get credit for it.
Which is going to be a huge hit to her start value.
Yeah. So interesting choices being made there, I think.
And Valeri is a very experienced coach. This is not his first go-around. So it is interesting that he's allowing her to have this routine composition, knowing that it's not giving her the best possible shot at doing anything.
Yeah, increasing her start value, getting the highest score she possibly can. I think there is, I mean, Gabby's capable of doing so much in her routine. I'd love to see the standing full get put back in. Mm-hmm. Have we seen her working that? Have we seen videos?
Yes, we've seen videos.
Okay, I'm not making that up, right?
No, she didn't do it the day we were in the gym, but she's posted videos, or at least a video of her doing it.
Yeah, and then we've seen videos of her on floor doing double layouts. So she definitely has stuff that I think she's working on that aren't a part of this sort of like baseline competition. That's the way I'm viewing this for Gabby. This is very baseline. This was to get back out there, to get this moment over with. So that way this anticipation of Gabby Douglas's comeback meet is already out of the way. Like, she's already done it.
But the anticipation is going to continue to follow her.
It's like, going to get worse, probably, the bigger the meet becomes, the closer we get to the Olympic trials.
But she has to be expecting that. You know, yeah. She knows who she is.
She's expecting that. I think she's prepared for that. I think this meet, being her first meet back, the biggest thing was just getting back out there, getting this meet out of the way, and creating a baseline for what her gymnastics can look like, and then building on that in the coming weeks.
The biggest question remains, is there enough time on the clock for Gabby Douglas? She has a very small window that she needs to improve her gymnastics, change her routines, get consistency, build her confidence, all of the things. A very short window. We're talking, you know, under 3 weeks until classics, then a few more weeks until championships, and then a couple weeks from that, the Olympic trials.
Yeah.
So there's, within the next 2 months, the Olympic team is going to be named.
So my opinion is that I think Gabby is going to look better. Every time we see her, I expect her to get better looking. Mm-hmm. Will it be enough in the end? I don't know.
I would like for it to be. I think that there's the potential for it to be enough. But I also think that she has a lot of really, really strong athletes that are only getting better and better, that are contending for similar spots that she's contending for. And will she have enough in her routines, difficulty-wise and consistency-wise, of course, and also endurance-wise, all of the things, to be able to put it all together when she needs to? Like I said, I think that she's going to get better. Like, I think that next time we see Gabby, I won't be shocked to see her hitting a bar routine and having it be good. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that her endurance is going to get better, and her confidence will also improve every time she competes. But the question is, like you said, with the time that she has left, does she have enough time to add in the upgrades that she needs to change anything with her composition and her beam or her floor routines, if she's going to even do that? Is there time to make those adjustments, get those things in her routines that she wants to add for upgrades, and be able to gain consistency on those elements? Mm-hmm. That, I think, is where I have the biggest question in terms of the timeline for Gabby and her comeback. Because she's been training for a very long time. I've seen people questioning her timeline a little bit. I agree that it would have been smart, I think, to actually come out and compete last year. Like, to have this kind of comeback meet where, you know, you're a little bit shaky, you're not doing your full difficulty, you know, whatever it may be. To have that kind of opening meet probably would have been better to be doing this last year.
Yes.
And getting that out of the way, kind of like Suni did. Mm-hmm. And then slowly building up until this year. And this year you really come out and hit the ground running. Like, I think that to me sounds more ideal. And we know that she's been in the gym for that long.
Yeah, she got into the gym in 2022, like mid-2022.
And maybe it took her a really long time to get back into it.
That's what I'm curious. I'm curious if she genuinely just wasn't ready to compete last year, or if it was a matter of her not wanting to be in the spotlight for too long and wanting to just, like, kind of come out closer to the games and go.
All of which are valid, but I think in terms of trying to make an Olympic team with as many strong athletes as the U.S. has in contention right now, I don't think her spot was ever guaranteed, and I think that having a year under you to prove yourself, whether that's domestically or internationally even, mm-hmm. I think could have bode well for her confidence, but also for the confidence in her from the national team staff.
Yeah, even just to know, like, how her routines are going to score, get feedback from judges on what skills are being devalued and exactly. If you need to make a change.
Because now you show up in American Classic, and if they weren't already suspecting, you know, that her ring position, for example, was going to get devalued.
Hello?
Hello? English? Get devalued. Now they know. But now is it too late to figure out, well, crap, like, what are we going to do? We have to change this, you know, take this out, put this in. I don't know. It just feels like now there's scrambling happening.
A lot eventually. Needs to be accomplished in a very short amount of time. So we'll see. We'll see. I will say, as I said in the very beginning of this, super proud of Gabby for attempting this comeback, putting herself back on the limelight, and also doing it for herself. She's made it very clear that she's doing this, you know, for her happiness, to kind of end her gymnastics journey on her terms. And that's what's most important. I do think that she probably wants to have a solid meet at some point to truly walk away and be happy with the comeback.
But I think she will. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I didn't watch that meet and think, like, oh my God, it's so over. Like, I watched that and I was like, okay, she's back out there. Definitely some rough spots, but you could see the potential.
Yeah.
There's so much room for her to grow and get better. And I think in 3 weeks at Classics, she's going to look a lot better.
Yes.
Maybe not like every single thing fixed in terms of routine composition and, you know, mistakes that were made and things like that. I think it's a lot to tackle all at once, but I think progressively the potential is there for Gabby to get better and better. And Gabby's always the kind of athlete that puts herself in the mix by default. I mean, she's Gabby Douglas. She's the Olympic all-around champion. A lot of people were writing her off last Olympic cycle, and she was continuing to be relevant despite all of it. You know what I mean?
You can't ever count out Gabby Douglas.
You can't. Yeah. I think she'll always find a way to, you know, have herself in that conversation and have it be, you know, a valid argument at the very least.
So other Olympic gold medalists that competed at American Classic, I feel like we've never talked about American Classic because it's so irrelevant, no offense. But now it feels like it's relevant for once, because all the Olympic gold medalists decided they were going to come compete besides Simone.
Well, and we also had a stream.
That too.
And I feel like
we did last year.
But like in
our history as gymnastics fans, this is a new development. We are not used to having a stream.
This is normally such an underground competition. And then now it's like
all the cool kids are there.
All the cool kids are there, and like all the major media organizations are paying attention to it. It's just normally such a like a low-key, yeah, almost like an underground competition is what it feels like.
I mean, I'm here for the exposure.
Yeah, on Flip Now.
I was like, what is that face? You're holding something back.
Anyway, Suni Lee had the highest score of the entire competition on the balance beam, and that was with a big wobble, as well as not having a dismount. She only did a layout off the end of the beam, and still had a 5.9 difficulty score, which is pretty iconic, and a much cleaner performance than we saw from her at the Winter Cup.
I was impressed with her beam, and we know that she's been training a double pike dismount.
Yep. And other upgrades as well. I mean, we've seen her doing a Yurchenko double on vault. She only did the full here. Bars, we've seen upgrades. She was training at American Classic the day before in the practice. She was doing a sights to Bahardwaj, which I've said before, I want her to do the full twisting Jaeger to Bahardwaj to sights. That's what I personally want. However, I will take whatever I can get. I was not expecting her to actually do a sights to Bahardwaj at all.
I just feel like this is what Suni does. Every time you think something is not possible, your brain can't fathom what that would actually look like in a routine. She's like, here, let me show you.
Yeah, I think she sees everyone's tweets and stuff.
Oh, 100%.
And she probably makes decisions based off of that, which is kind of funny and also...
Like, she makes decisions based off, like, proving people wrong. Like, you don't think this is possible? Watch me, bitch.
Right. So, no idea if she actually intends to compete that in her routine, but that would be pretty epic if she does.
Either way, Suni's going to put together an amazing routine. She has so many combos that she can do. I'm not questioning her ability to put a nice bar routine out there. She will be an asset if she makes this Olympic team for the U.S. She'll be an asset to the team on bars, I think, regardless.
Bars and beam.
Beam as well, yes. It's just a matter of, kind of like we were saying with Gabby, what is she bringing on the other events? Because in my opinion, the U.S. isn't going to bring a specialist on this team. You can be a specialist in terms of, you know, having two events that really stand out, and those are your, you know, quote-unquote medal-worthy events. Not saying that she would win a medal, but, you know, those are the events that she could win a medal on in an Olympic final. I think you could justify bringing someone like that if they have a solid other two events as backup, because like we saw at the last Olympics with Simone, we saw at Worlds with Jocelyn Robertson going out last second. You do always need somebody on the team that, even if they weren't initially supposed to be in your lineup, somebody that could get thrown in and get you a usable score in a team final or qualifications if needed. And so I think that is where this is going to be really interesting between people like Gabby Douglas, Suni Lee, among other athletes. What does their all-around program look like?
Yeah. Well, she's been really strategic about the pacing, and I know some people are kind of questioning a little bit because they feel like we haven't seen a whole lot from Suni in terms of actual competitive routines. Yeah. But I think that that's by design. I think that with, you know, the kidney issues she was having that really kind of rocked her whole last year and all the complications that stemmed from that, I think it's smart to kind of take it slow and not be pushing yourself too early.
Well, kidney issues are not something that you want to mess around with. That is very serious. And I feel like if she were to make the Olympic team, she has a long road ahead of her in terms of training and long days and all of that.
You're looking at another 3 months of having to be at top level, like top tier gymnastics.
Absolutely. You don't want to be at your best right now. And I don't think for someone like Suni with the issues that she's had, I don't think you want to be doing extremely difficult full routines, full out consistently at this point in time.
No.
I think for other athletes, that wouldn't be the strategy. But I think for Suni, she has to have a different approach given everything that she's been through in the past, you know, year and a half.
It very much depends on the athlete. Some people can, at this point, be bringing out the upgrades and going big.
But they're not in the position that she's in. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Suni has said herself that she feels good about where she's at with the pacing plan that she's on and kind of working to get the routines back while working upgrades on the side.
Yeah.
And I think when the time comes,
she'll put it all together.
Yeah. I feel the best about Suni's chances personally with making this team, despite not seeing everything and not having all of the answers that we might want to have, just based off of what we know she's capable of doing and what we have seen her do so far. I can see her being able to turn it on and do it when it matters most, which is not right now at the end of April at the American Classic.
It's just not needed at this point in time.
Yes. I think personally, just that beam routine alone from American Classic should send a message. I understand it's a domestic competition, but a 5.9 D score without a dismount is really, really good.
Yeah.
And being able to score a 14.3, I think it was. Let me check. Yes, 14.3 without the dismount, but then also having a really big wobble on her switch rein leap. That's a really good score. So it speaks to the potential that she could bring on beam. We know the potential that she can bring on bars. And then, like you said, having...
We've seen her doing the double. She's training it on vault.
A usable routine as backup.
Yep.
To have that in your arsenal.
Just in case it's needed.
I think that would give her a good shot. So we will see. As we will see with many of these athletes. Right now, it's just kind of the beginning. The beginning of...
The beginning of all these conversations.
Yeah, of seeing what people look like, seeing what upgrades people are attempting. Is this going to work? Is this not going to work? There's a lot that needs to be answered still, but that's what we're going to find out over the next few weeks. We also have to talk about Jade Carey, another Olympic gold medalist that was at this competition. And she's fresh off a second place all-around finish at the NCAA Championships from just a week ago. She literally had 3 days of practice before coming to this competition.
So for her to show up and actually look as good as she did in the all-around was very, very impressive to me.
And she was doing so with downgraded routines. But again, at this phase, that's the plan. Her plan was just to get in there, compete, qualify to U.S. Championships. And that's really it at this point.
And I think after last year, not having her best season, a lot of people started to kind of write Jade off a little bit. She wasn't as much in the conversation last year, but I feel like now she's kind of putting herself back in the conversation again.
And that was something that she had talked about last season, not going how she wanted, and kind of taking a different approach this year with training her elite skills and her elite routines throughout the college season. And of course, while she's competing for Oregon State, she's doing the simplified routines, quote unquote simplified. She's doing, you know,
she's doing full twisting
double layouts and things of that nature. But
she wasn't doing all around every single week. I think they were much more intentional and methodical about how they went about pacing her throughout the college season, choosing which meet she would be competing in, which one she'd be doing all around in.
So she spent the first half of the season not competing all around, and that was the plan going in. But I can't remember exactly what week it was, but in February at some point, she decided to start doing all around because she's Jade Carey and she's competitive and she just wanted to be out there competing. But competing those simplified routines while working in the background at her elite routines, I think you can see the improvements already.
Oh, 100%.
And now that the college season is done, it's just going to be building from here.
And Jade has always been, I feel like, the type of athlete that knows, well, her dad, I would say, because he's the one obviously constructing this entire plan for her. But I feel like they usually do have a good pacing strategy. And Jade is the kind of athlete that historically has peaked at the right time or is close to peaking at the right time. Last year, we didn't see that from her.
Yes.
Last year, she was like gassed the entire way through, but she came off a very long NCAA season, like you mentioned, doing all around every single week. This time around, they had a much different approach. And I think I agree with you. It's paying off from what we can tell.
Yeah, and last season, just the fact that they were waiting to kind of start training elite skills, I think made her in the end less prepared.
Yeah.
Whereas now she's entering this Olympic cycle feeling much more prepared. She said that herself. And I think it's going to bode well for her. I think we're going to see it translating out on the competition floor. And, you know, she's working upgrades, as we mentioned, on, of course, vault and floor, and potentially a little bit on the uneven bars as well. But I think at the end of the day for Jade, it's just about doing what's most comfortable for her and what's most consistent, because that's kind of what she's known for. And I think that's going to be the biggest strength for Jade, is just being that person that you know you can put up on any event, even if it's not one of her strongest events, if it's not an event that, you know, she's going to win a medal on at the Olympics or the World Championship, she can still go up there and get you a good score in an emergency situation, which does happen. Even on bars, you know, we talk about Jade on vault and floor a lot, and we
kind of neglect her bars and beam, but she's improved a lot.
And sure, it's not her forte, but
she's not going to be in an event final on bars and even beam, to be honest with
but
you.
But she's better than I think she gets credit for.
Can you put her up in a pressure situation if you need her to? Yes. And in my opinion, that coupled with two really strong events or three really strong events for most athletes is really all that matters.
Yes.
So it's how reliable are you and what are you bringing on at least two or three events in terms of like high quality routine and difficulty?
Mm-hmm. So I think so far, just from one competition, you can see the transition from college to elite seems to be going pretty well so far for Jade Carey. And
that's only with 3 days of training in between.
Right, so like, right. I think it's only up from here. In my opinion, Jade Carey's stock absolutely has gone up with her performance at the American Classic. One other person I really want to mention from American Classic is
Miley Liu. Bargo.
Yes. Miley Liu, Ashley Sullivan, go blue.
Miley Liu got second all around.
And she won last year, so it's nice to see that she still ended up on the podium.
I know that wasn't who you were trying to bring up, but I was just like, I had to bring Michigan into this somehow.
Yeah, that's not what I was going to say. But I mean, Miley Liu, we do stand Miley Liu. She's absolutely gorgeous to watch. But I was going to say Jocelyn Robertson and her comeback meet. Of course, she got injured at World Championships last year, had a pretty nasty ankle injury, and just competed bars and beam here. But she showed an upgraded bar dismount.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she didn't have the best competition in terms of scores. She had a fall on beam. But good to see her back out there. These are not the events that she's going to make the team for, necessarily. But a stepping stone in the right direction. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how she looks on vault and floor, because those are the events that kind of just like last year, it was between her and Jade Carey for, you know, which one of you is going to be our vault and floor girl. And Jocelyn looked really consistent last year, whereas Jade didn't. But now with the injury, I'm really curious to see how Jocelyn's going to fit into the picture
and how that shakes things up.
But nice to see her back out there.
Moving on to the Pacific Rim Championship. This is a meet that I have not watched yet, but I've seen individual routines online. So I'm not going to talk about this as if I watched it.
Neither of us have watched it.
We've been too busy. But I will tell you that the USA won the gold. I think that's really impressive given how young this team is. And also at the last minute, having Trinity Thomas, who is, you know, on that team, would have been the leader and the one with the most experience, stepped out at the last second, and to be able to adjust in the way that they did and still come out with the gold, I think is extremely impressive. So shout out to them for that. I want to talk about Jayla Hang. She won the all-around with a 54.8 in her senior international debut.
Nice.
Very, very good. Her vault, she did a double. Her bars, amazing as always. It was her beam that I was really impressed with. She did the backhand sprain tucked full. That's something that we know that she's been working for a while. Mm-hmm. And not only did she put it in the routine, but she nailed it. Like, she quite literally did it, I think, the best she could have done it.
I haven't even seen the video yet, so I'm really excited to see this.
It's on Twitter. Go look it up. So, so good. I think the only clear weakness for Jayla is her floor. So she did a two-pass routine here. She also did a two-pass routine at Winter Cup, but this one had downgraded tumbling. So she did a 1.5 to front full, and then she finished with a double tuck. So not the tumbling that we would be expecting to see from her. I'm not sure what the reasoning for that would be. Some people were theorizing that it had stuff to do with the equipment. I know there was like rain delays and all this, you know, drama.
Was there a leak in the arena?
There may have been, honestly.
So what does the rain outside have to do with?
I know there was a delay, and I think it was because, and it's an indoor event, obviously.
Right?
This isn't the, like, 1930s when they used to do gymnastics outside.
Although we do, Brittany and I were talking yesterday about doing water beam. We'll have to tell you guys about it another time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to, like, go off track here because we do have more we have to get through, but remind me at some point, someone, to talk about water beam, because I have some ideas about how athletes can mentally train to be able to hit under pressure. And you can probably imagine where I'm going with this. But anyways.
This is Brittany like 85% just trolling. She's not actually serious.
No, I was serious. We were standing outside. Now I'm like, I don't want to go off topic. Now I'm like going off topic.
Just say it quickly.
Okay, I was standing outside overlooking the water, and the ledge of this bridge that we were standing on was about the width of a balance beam. And I was looking at it, and I said to Ashley, do you think that if we had like a gymnast with us right now, if we could challenge them to get up on the beam and do a skill? It doesn't have to be like a difficult skill, but can they get up there and do a back tuck?
without falling and having the water be beneath them. And so then we kind of started that conversation of like, do you think they'd be able to do it? Like mentally, would they be able to do that?
Because it's the same thing, right? Like it's the same width. And if you made it an actual beam and not like a cement. Piece of, yeah, like it would be the same thing, right? You should be able to do it no matter what surface you're
it
over.
It was the idea of something that is the width of a balance beam over water. Do you think they could do a skill? And so then I was like, you know what? That's a great idea to train mental toughness and your ability to hit and trust that you're going to be able to hit when you're in a pressure situation. Because if you could do beam over water and risk like falling into the water
and getting soaked 5 million times a day at practice,
I think you would be really consistent. Because you're so used to, like, everything feels so life and death because you're always trying to fight not going in the water.
Yeah, but what happens when you fall in the water and then your leotard or your, like, tank and shorts get soaking wet and then it's adding, like, extra weight to your body because you're wearing...
It's more incentive to not fall in the water, which goes back to my original point.
Okay, but once you fall in the water, do you have to go change your clothes?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I haven't thought that far ahead yet. But anyways...
Anyways, that's that. We were talking about how gymnasts don't do... beam outside.
I don't even know how we got to this point.
Well, because
we were talking about
Jayla, and you said people were theorizing that it had something to do with like the fact that it was raining outside, and I was questioning what that had to do with anything.
I don't know. I think there may have been some like leakage happening.
Okay,
from the rain.
I haven't been following this. I'm not up on it.
So I haven't either, but I did see that theory going around.
Well,
and I also know Jayla has dealt with some injuries too.
That would make the most sense to me. Yeah, but
because like floor, I feel like even if there was a roof leak, I feel like it wouldn't impact floor of all of us.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that would be it. I would think that it would be something related to the injury that she had last year and them pacing her and not pushing it right now.
That would be my guess as well.
That makes more sense.
But I think other than the floor downgrades / two pass routine, Jayla looked really good in the all around. I mean, a 54.8 in your senior international debut is very impressive.
Especially given that you're not doing full difficulty on yes. floor.
Yeah.
That's actually really good.
I think Jayla's more in the conversation for, you know, possibly an Olympic alternate spot than people are actually like giving her credit for. Mm-hmm. I think she's more in the mix.
I'm here for it.
And second all around here, we had Madre Johnson with a 52.95. And then in third from Canada, we had, I believe it's pronounced Kaylin Lawson. It's Kaylin spelled K-A-H-L-Y-N, but I'm assuming that's Kaylin. She had a 49.85. So those were the top three in the all around. And then another meet that was happening over this past weekend was Chinese Nationals. Another meet that I have not watched. I've just seen clips online that have been posted. And I have to say, the Chinese did not come to play. Every video that I've seen, I've been thoroughly impressed with.
They said, we are sick of not ending on the medal podium at the Olympics or Worlds, and that changes now.
And I actually think that they are in contention, so that's very, very exciting.
They look more powerful than they've ever looked.
Yeah, more athletes seem to be doing, I think there's two athletes that are doing doubles, and there's another athlete, I don't remember who it is, that's doing some other more difficult vault, not a full. So... Mm-hmm. Yay for upgrades for the Chinese on vault. We love to see that. The big thing that a lot of people are talking about right now is Chu Chi Yuan and how she pulled out a ginormous 7.2 difficulty. Oof. In the event finals here
Kaylia
at Chinese.
Kaylia Nemor, she's coming for you, girl.
Kaylia Nemor is quaking in her boots. because I think a lot of people have been... like, oh, Kaylia's going to win, you know what I mean, at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, she's definitely been the front runner, the favorite. And there's other people that are in contention. But I think if Kaylia did what Kaylia does, you know, she's a favorite for the gold medal at the Olympics. And
Chu Wen said not so fast.
So her score from event finals with that start value was a 15.566, which is huge. I think it's going to be, like I said, a really interesting battle for that bar gold between her and Kaylia. They both have the potential for a 7.2 difficulty score. That's if Kaylia gets credit for the Dewal Fenton, which she doesn't.
Had not been.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Chu Chi Yuan has an edge in terms of difficulty and execution. If she hits and, of course, gets credit for everything that she did over the weekend, I definitely think that she has the advantage. And Kaylia, I think her edge would be just her consistency and having that on her side. She's hit 15.4 five times this year. In fact, four times she's gotten the same exact score of 15.433. She did that at the World Cups. There was two World Cups where back to back to back to back, she got that score four times in a row, which is very, very impressive. And yeah. I think speaks to her consistency. So it'll be interesting for sure. And then, you know, there's obviously other people that are in the mix as well. But I think in terms of the battle for the bar gold at the Olympics, I think that conversation got a little bit more interesting. And Chu Chi Yuan also has a 17 start value on beam as well.
So a potential all-around medalist, maybe.
I think so. I think that if she can put it all together, I think that she is absolutely in the conversation for the podium as an all-arounder. So exciting. Very, very exciting. Something else that I've seen people kind of starting to talk about, I saw this on Twitter and I figured we would do our own little version for the podcast. And that is for the U.S., circling back to the U.S., who is your top 10? Like, what is your short list for the U.S. Olympic team?
So is the criteria here that we're, if we're in charge and we're selecting a list of 10 athletes that we're going to keep our eyes on that are in the strongest contention for a spot on the Olympic team that bring the most value to Team USA, is that what this list is?
Yes. I want to know who is your top 10 in terms of Olympic contention and alternate contention as well. Like, obviously, that's going to be 8 athletes between the Olympic team and the alternates. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be 2 extra athletes left over. But who are the top 10 in your mind that are legitimately making a strong case for themselves in terms of being in contention for the Olympics?
Okay, so this is in no particular order. Is yours in order?
Kind of.
I can't put it in order. I had such a hard time even coming up with the
list. Well, I mean, now that I'm kind of glancing down at it, it's not fully in order. It's mostly in order, but it's not entirely.
Okay, mine's not in order. This is just what feels right now.
Okay.
Okay, so Simone Biles, duh. Shailese Jones, Suni Lee, Jade Carey, Jordan Chiles, Connor McClain.
Interesting.
We will discuss in a second. Skye Blakely, Kalia Lincoln, Kayla DiCello, and Liam Wan. Do you want me to say my alternates?
Yeah, I'm looking at my list trying to figure out who you didn't have on yours. Go ahead, give me your...
So I have 5 alternates.
Or we'll call them honorable mentions.
I like that. Honorable mentions. So we just talked about her. Sorry, the blinds are like doing their little dancey dance over here.
It's 80 degrees out for once and we have our window open and I refuse to close it. So the blinds, I'm looking at them right now. I need you to stop because I don't want to have to close the window.
Okay, so my honorable mentions are Jayla Hayne, Hesley Rivera, Caitlin John. I feel like you can't count her out. She brings more to the table than people give her credit for. Jocelyn Robertson, just because.
Wow.
You have to. Come on.
No. I'm not. That's not why I'm saying wow. I have her on my top 10.
Oh. Oh. Oh, okay.
Listen.
Hold on. I have one more.
I'm a Jocelyn Robertson truther. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. My last one is Tiana Sumanasekera.
Okay. Let me do mine and then we'll discuss. It's my top 10. And like I said, this is not, I'm not going to say it's an order because then people are going to nitpick it. It's the order in which they came to my head, which does kind of seem to align with what I believe could be the Olympic team. But Simone Biles, Shailese Jones, Jade Carey, Suni Lee, Kayla DiCello, Jordan Chiles, Jocelyn Robertson, Skye Blakely, Jayla Hang, and Leanne Wan are in my top 10 at the moment.
Okay.
My honorable mentions are Connor McClain, Gabby Douglas, Kalia Lincoln, and Tiana Sumanasekera.
Okay, so the difference is I have Connor and Kalia in my top 10.
I have Jayla and Jocelyn.
Okay. Interesting.
And yeah, that changed for me after this weekend.
So I originally had Jayla in my top 10, but then I was forgetting people.
Yeah.
And then I was like, shoot, I'm already over 10. And I said, next thing you know, I'm at 16. I think, to be fair, a short list can be 16 people on. Like, I don't even want to
limit it to 10 right now because it's too hard to say.
Yeah.
In my opinion, those are the
all
names.
All of the athletes that we listed
are in the mix in the sense that you can make an argument for them on an event or two.
Anybody outside of this list would be a massive dark horse, I'm here for, but...
Did you have Caitlin John?
I did not.
Okay, but so you had 4 honorable mentions?
Yeah, Connor McClain, Gabby Douglas, Kalia Lincoln, and Tiana.
Okay, and I don't have Gabby Douglas at this point as much as I would like to. I want to see more.
That's valid.
But...
That's just my, gut feeling.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just basing it off of... This is obviously following American Classic. Mm-hmm. So right now...
It's your most recent impression.
Yes. If you would have asked me before American Classic, I would have had Gabby on it because we hadn't seen her compete. We'd just seen her training. And based off of training, she showed a lot of potential.
But we all know that isolated skills and full routines at the elite level don't always translate the way we want it to. So. Yes.
So, I mean, like we've already said, there's a lot to be determined here.
Want to talk about Connor?
Yeah. So, Connor, I think
Connor had a great year.
Connor did have a great year. Connor also looks really, really happy and the most consistent and least anxious I think she's ever looked in her career. I mean, the fact that she went from basically throwing up before doing beam to being able to follow a fall in the NCAA finals with the national championship on the line and get her teammates going again on the right track says a lot about how far she's come, not just on beam, but just in general mentally. As an athlete.
She seems a lot more confident and composed in a way that we weren't seeing when she was at the elite level.
Yes. And she's been competing this whole time. It's not like she took a year off from gymnastics entirely and is now trying to make a comeback. She's been competing. She's been competing very well. And I'm actually going to be talking to her on Monday. And there will be an article that's released that has some more details about her plans. And that will answer a lot of questions that even I have right now that I don't know the answers to. But I think it's fair to put her in the conversation.
No, I think that's
fair. Just based off of what she's done already this quad, and then also what she did this year at LSU. Yes, it's college. Yes, it's simplified routines. But, she's still competing. She's still doing well. And she's probably still training those elite skills on the side.
We've seen her doing some stuff on bars. We've seen her doing her 2-foot layout on beam.
We've
seen
her doing the double on vault.
Yeah. So, I don't know quite what her difficulty is going to look like in terms of elite, but I don't doubt that she has something up her sleeves in terms of her elite routines and having been practicing them or being prepared for this moment where now she is, hopefully looking to compete at the U.S. Classic in a couple weeks.
Which she's not registered for yet.
But I imagine she will be. She's going to have to be.
Yeah, right. If she's going to... If she's going to do this, she needs to compete at Classic. So I'm just saying that, she technically has not yet, but also Gabby Douglas hasn't either. And I think there's a couple other athletes as well that are not on the list yet.
Yeah, I think a lot of WOGA athletes.
Yeah. So we expect that to change. I'm not going to put Connor on my Olympic team yet, but she's most definitely on the short list, and she's in the conversation.
I would agree with that.
So we're going to make this the question of the week for you guys. To answer, if you're listening on Spotify, go leave your comments and tell us who's on your short list.
Try and keep it to 10 athletes if possible, but we will allow you to have a little bit more.
Yeah, because it's hard. It's hard to come up with 10. And if we gave ourselves
a three to four person buffer room, then you have that grace as well.
Yes. But if you can narrow it down to 10, send it. We want to see it. Okay, so the last thing we want to talk about is Georgia's plan for world domination. So Georgia has landed not just one head coach, but 2 new co-head coaches to take over the Gym Dogs for next season. After a nationwide manhunt, they have landed Ryan Roberts, former assistant coach for Georgia, and Cecile Landy, who we all know as the coach of Simone Biles and all of the phenomenal talent at WCC.
So that is huge. Huge, shocking, unexpected. We have so many questions.
So we'll start with this. I think something that was not unexpected was Courtney Capetz.
No.
Leaving. I am 0% surprised by her departure.
And I don't think the staff was either. So from what we've been told, the coaching staff was told at the beginning of the season that if they did not make it to day two of regionals, that the coaches were going to get wiped out, basically.
Which is a little bit sad because Georgia was actually really close to making it. They were so close. I don't remember now what...
It was like a 10th or something. It was super close. They really put up a good fight.
Yeah.
But in the
end... We didn't realize that they were fighting to keep their coaching staff at the time, but yeah. They did put up a good fight.
So this coaching change is not necessarily a shock to the coaching staff. And the athletic director at Georgia most definitely began the process right around regionals of trying to line up its next head coach. And
there was lots of discussions happening.
Sounds like there was a lot of top coaches that were called. There was some interviews. There were some straight up no's. There was some people entertaining it. There were some negotiations happening. And in the end, you know, Georgia did not land its former head coach, Jay Clark, who just won a national championship with LSU. But they did land Cecile Landy, of all people, who's not a college coach, but very much has a strong resume, and Ryan Roberts.
I think Ryan Roberts brings a sense of familiarity to this team and consistency that they're used to, which I do think is very important, especially bringing in someone like Cecile, who is not going to be joining them until after the Olympics.
Yes.
I think they need somebody who's in the gym working with them. It's a familiar face. So I think that's a great duo. I believe I heard that they used to work together at WOGA back in the day.
Yeah.
So that's the connection there. And Cecile, I think, you know, from the athletes that she's currently working with, we've heard a lot of positive things from the athletes about her. They love working with her. They seem to have a good relationship with her from what we've heard and also from what we just can observe.
And she also has a proven track record of helping gymnasts achieve their glow up. I mean, Jordan Chiles moved to WCC leading up to the Tokyo Olympics, and we saw a tremendous improvement in her scores and her results.
And Jocelyn Robertson as well.
In this Olympic cycle, yes. And other gymnasts too, even like, if it's just on, you know, certain events.
Dulcie Kaler's vault has had the glow up of the century so far this season.
Tiana Sumina-Sakura has improved a little bit on uneven bars. I mean, they just have a way of bringing the best out of athletes.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to see how that's going to translate with the Georgia gymnastics team, because this is a program that has fallen off.
I was going to say a program a bit, that needs Jesus. And in this case, Jesus is Cecile Landy. Because yes. I think that iconic meme of Courtney saying Georgia gymnastics will win championships again. I feel like we could say that because we have Cecile Landy now, and she's going to like come to just turn the, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
Yeah. Cecile, I'm like, whoa, calm down.
Cecile, I'm sorry. But I do think that she has a track record of, like you said, bringing out the best in the athletes that she's working with.
I'm more
and granted that's in tandem with her husband, Laurent. So we don't know what the dynamic will be like between Ryan and her, and also with the team. Like, there's a lot that's unknown at this point in time, but I feel good about it. Yes. I feel better about it than having Courtney Kupetz get her contract extended.
Yes, that's essentially what I was just going to say. I feel better about the hire of Cecile Landy than I do about the hire of Courtney
And I
Kupetz.
Feel like, you know, Georgia was absolutely going after Jay Clark. And Jay Clark would have been a massive catch for them, especially considering what he just did with LSU.
Yeah.
But if you can't get Jay Clark to come back to Georgia, who else better than Cecile Landy? Like, in my mind, there isn't too many options that are better than that.
Yeah. And from what I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard that Cecile had always wanted to coach college and was low-key kind of waiting to see if one of the Texas schools would start a program.
Yeah.
So we'll actually get a chance to ask her that, because Cecile is coming on the show. She'll be on next Monday. We're going to be interviewing her later this week. So if you're a gold or silver Patreon member, make sure you go check the app and submit any questions if you have any. You'll have until Thursday morning, maybe Wednesday night, to get those in. So we're super excited to talk to Cecile about her new gig.
And I think in terms of Ryan, like I said, I think he brings a level of experience and just consistency and, you know, a familiar face for this team that I think has faced a lot of turmoil and turnover.
Yeah.
And turnover, I mean, in terms of even like what's internally happening with the team, with athletes retiring and leaving. And
so he came to Georgia as an assistant coach in 2022. He came from Alabama, where he spent four seasons. And from what we heard from a former athlete, had
kind of like low key been kind of coaching and running the program anyways.
So he was kind of already acting like the head coach internally anyways.
Yeah. So this is his
first. Courtney was just like publicly the head coach.
This is now his first head coach gig on paper, but I think he definitely has some experience under his belt, and I agree with you in that his presence will be kind of a sense of comfort and familiarity for the members of the team, especially those that maybe otherwise would have been considering entering the transfer portal. I think he's big in helping to retain people like Lily Smith, who was originally committed to Alabama when he was there, but then when he came to Georgia, followed him to Georgia.
Yeah.
So I think retaining him is a good thing, and making him a co-head coach because he is familiar with the program and how it's run, but then also tag teaming with someone like Cecile, who has a lot of potential, I think, as a college coach.
And I think potentially different strengths as well. I think that's interesting, having two co-head coaches, because they both have different strengths and maybe even weaknesses that hopefully they can balance each other out in such a way that is conducive to the overall success of the team.
Yes.
They've been needing something to happen for years now, and I think we finally, hallelujah, can say that we have a change that seems to be better for the outlook of this Georgia team, I think, in years to come.
Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about this, and you said it already, and I think the perfect way to end this episode is by saying Georgia gymnastics will win championships again. Go Dogs.
That does it for this week's episode. We hope you all enjoyed it. And as always, we'd like to end by thanking our Patreon supporters for making this show possible. And if you are interested in supporting the show and becoming a Patreon supporter, we always have a link in the show notes down below, as well as in the link tree that's in all of our bios on social media, to our Patreon page, the perks of each tier level, and all that good stuff.
Next week, we'll be diving deeper into Georgia's new hires with the one and only Cecile Landy. She'll be joining us to talk about the decision and answer all of the questions that you guys have. So this is a reminder, if you are a gold or silver Patreon, make sure you get your questions in before Thursday of this week if you want Cecile to answer it.
And also, we have another interview that we're doing early next week, but it'll probably be released the following week, with a top NCAA gymnast. So you can see that on the Patreon app as well, and ask questions ASAP. We hope you all have an amazing week, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.